Harper One and Harper Audio present Wannabe, Reckonings with the Pop Culture That Shapes Me by Aisha Harris. That's me. Introduction. Thank you, Rebecca Bunch. So there's a scene in the final season of the brilliant musical comedy series Crazy Ex-Girlfriend where Rebecca Bunch is lamenting her long list of well-documented destructive behaviors. Her friend and roommate, Heather, attempts to console her by saying that the worst thing about Rebecca is the fact that she flushes her tampons down the toilet. "I'm sorry about the tampons," Rebecca reluctantly concedes. "Again, I didn't know you weren't supposed to flush them. I will wrap them in toilet paper and leave them in the trash to smell, like you want." "Well, you could also just take out the trash," Heather replies, calmly but slightly irked. Now, I love this exchange and think about it a lot for a few reasons. The deliveries by Rachel Bloom as Rebecca and Bella Lavelle as Heather are chef's kiss, the product of an established familiar rapport, which feels utterly true to who these characters are and how the relationship has evolved over the course of several seasons. And it encapsulates part of what made Crazy Ex-Girlfriend such a subversive delight, its weirdness and frankness in discussions of women's bodies and points of view. This is a show, after all, in which a recurring gag involves characters singing bits of a song called Period Sex. But the main reason I'm obsessed with this moment is because it concretely altered my life, my womanhood. In it, I stumbled upon a stunning revelation that you are not, in fact, supposed to flush tampons down the toilet. Yes, I was Rebecca Bunch. An early 30-something with years of tampon-wearing experience, I had been painfully unaware that my bathroom trips while on my period rendered me a menace to society, if only for a few minutes every few months. Who knows how many plumbing systems I'd clogged or how many bodies of water I'd polluted with my ignorance. I shudder from a place of deep and immense shame at the thought of having left behind a never-ending trail of slowly degrading sanitary products and an untold number of sewage pipes. Thank the medical gods for inventing the kind of birth control that can effectively eliminate periods. These days, I basically never have to worry about this anymore. I've learned a lot of lessons about myself and how the world works in this way. Inadvertent self-formation by way of popular culture. I've devoured countless hours of movies, shows, books, music, and theater over the course of my life, first solely as a consumer and then later as a professional critic and podcaster. I guess it was bound to work out that I'd fix my garbage disposal habits thanks to an encounter with a fictional TV character. Pop culture is also how I've worked through more existential issues, like a complicated relationship with my own name and my commitment to never having kids. When I'm searching for meaning, validation, or a challenge, I'll often find it through an exchange between fictional characters or in the lyric of a transformative album. The truth is, most of our lives bear the imprints of the pop culture we consume, whether the consumption is casual or, as in my case, obsessive. A song that lives rent-free in my head, Muffin Top from 30 Rock. The stuff that entertains us or just merely distracts us often finds a way of seeping into our quote-unquote real lives. It can be as frivolous and fleeting as the Rachel haircut from Friends, as enduring as doing the cha-cha slide at weddings, or as singular and all-encompassing as Beatlemania. Sometimes it's inspiring, like seeing Sidney Poitier win the Oscar or reading books about a group of smart and enterprising tween and teen girl babysitters. In other cases, it's insidious, like the way decades worth of baked-in propaganda on shows like Cops and Law & Order have primed Americans to feel overly sympathetic toward law enforcement. It's nearly impossible to escape this world untouched by pop culture. Movie-going, TV-watching, music-listening, it doesn't all just happen to us. It helps shape us and informs how we move about the world, whether we're conscious of it or not. But how we interact with it has shifted in some significant ways, creating infinitely new possibilities for both connection and division. And of course, our social mores shift too. I'm a middle millennial who was born at the end of the 1980s, but came of age in the 1990s and early aughts. My generation, the killers of cable TV, the auto industry, and casual dining, among other capitalistic entities of yore, often gets a bad rap for being overly concerned with relating to and seeing ourselves within pop culture. We're labeled vapid, the so-called selfie generation, and unhealthily obsessed with things like representation and cultural appropriation, because we tend to be the loudest critics when, say, Tilda Swinton is cast in a role that was originally conceived as an Asian character, as in Doctor Strange,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?